Right. Wanted to mention, too, that I do have a new PowerPoint presentation finished, and Sam has it in the computer, and when I get back from out west, I will be showing it here, and probably on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be about 2.5 hours, so we'll have a little intermission in between. But it's on the end times, and it is a shocker. I looked through it again today, and it's amazing. I just don't even know how to begin to tell you. But it deals with the things that are going on right now and how it has never been this way before. There's a good segment of it that deals with Mystery Babylon, and you'll see pictures that will... you better put your seatbelts on when you watch it. It's just amazing. So be praying for this effort. We're reaching out to as many people as we can. I've got about 17 people lined up to get baptized in Jesus' name next week. So we're looking forward to that. But what we really want to see as well is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How in the world are we ever going to make it from here to there without the Holy Ghost? You see, it's not just a matter of knowing things or understanding things, but having the Spirit of God Himself move through us. You know, we all know that no church can save a soul. Of all the religion out there, religion has never, ever saved a single soul. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ, from His throne to your heart. And you know, I believe in obeying everything He said to do. I believe in not only hearing the gospel, knowing the gospel, but I believe in obeying the gospel. And what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us it is the death, it is the burial, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anything short of that is not the gospel. If I know that, the question is, how do I obey it? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Word tells us that in flaming fire, talking about the Lord coming back, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not the Lord and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believe, but I must obey. How do I obey? The Bible says, if Jesus died, I must die in repentance. I repent. Repentance is a death. It's represented by the altar of sacrifice, the altar of burnt offerings in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus became our lamb, our dying lamb on the cross to show us that we must repent. And then the Bible says we must be buried. Was Jesus buried? Was He put in a tomb? Yes, and that tomb is empty today. And we must likewise be buried with Him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, Colossians chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, 38, on and on and on, that we must be buried with Him, not baptized into a church, not baptized into the Baptist church, or the Methodist church, or the Pentecostal church, or the Lutheran church, but baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 6. All right? And then the Bible says we rise to walk in newness of life. And Romans 8:11 says, if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies at the last trump. That's the resurrection power. So it's not head knowledge, but it's something that takes place in the heart and resides in the heart. God is a doer of miracles. God created all things from nothing. He had nothing to work with and did a great work with nothing to produce everything. Praise the Lord. Now, what we're doing tonight, I don't know why I said all those things, but there must be a reason there somewhere. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God never returns unto Him void. And we're going to be going into this subject, who or what is Mystery Babylon. I don't remember if I titled it Who or What, but we'll just leave it like that. Who and what is Mystery Babylon? Close enough. I think we get the subject matter here, the gist of it. But before we go into this, we do need to pray again and then sing a chorus. And tonight, instead of singing Keep on Walking by Faith, we're going to sing another chorus, just a different one. I just feel like singing it because of the subject we're studying. And we're going to sing that chorus, "We're Coming Out of Babylon." But first, let's pray. I'm glad you like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. First, we will pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful, Lord, to be here tonight. We do thank Thee, O God, that we can look into this subject of Thy Word, the subject of the end time, this vital subject, O God, of understanding the mystery of iniquity, that we might understand the truth, O Lord, of what is happening, and the truth about the fact that Thou art coming again. Lord, let our hearts be touched tonight. Lord, help us to open up unto Thee, O God, that Thou mightest do a great and wonderful and marvelous work on the inside of us. Lord, we yield ourselves unto Thee. We ask that Thy power would sweep over our souls. Let Thy Word be alive in us, O God, that we might glorify Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood, also rebuking Satan through the name of Jesus. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst drive out the enemy. Let him have no power to hinder us. And once again, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. All right, let's sing here. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Once more, we're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is awesome and wonderful. Just before I came over here, I had a phone call from someone who gets the newsletter, and she didn't identify herself, but she said, "Has the newsletter been mailed yet?" She said, "I just want to find out." She said, "I'm on the mailing list. I just want to know if it's been mailed yet." You know, it's really something, because our target date's the 25th, which was a Sunday. Post office isn't open. Monday, the post office wasn't open. I mailed them yesterday. But you know, it just shows there's a hunger out there. If people don't get that newsletter on a certain day, they want to know why. And, you know, it's a couple of days late because of the Sunday and the holiday. We can't do anything about that unless we get a bunch of mules and deliver them Pony Express or whatever. But we, actually, Cynthia's got horses, but not enough to do that job. So, you know, it shows that people get so anxious about that. So we may get a few more phone calls, emails, who knows, telegraphs even, I don't know, over the next couple of days. But they're out there, they wait for it. People tell me, I go and every day I look in the mailbox, it's not there, it's not there, and then finally it's there, and they drop everything. And one woman said she gets it and she hides it from her husband because she wants to read it first. Otherwise he reads it and tells her all about it before she can read it. And one man said, I would rather... And this guy happens to really like ice cream. He said, I'd throw my ice cream cone away and read the newsletter, you know. He's just trying to say that that's how much he liked it. But anyway, keep that all in prayer. We really want to see results for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, right now we are in Isaiah chapter 47. And last week we started in Revelation 17. And we read about the great harlot. Remember? The scarlet-colored beast with a harlot riding on the beast. 7 heads, 10 horns. And we identified the great harlot from the Bible as being a city that is set on 7 hills, which is, no doubt, Rome. The Roman Catholic system is the great whore. But it's not the entire conspiracy. There is a collusion with government, all the governments of the world, represented by the beast with the 10 horns. Those 10 horns are the 10 divisions of the governments of the whole world divided up into 10s. And of course, that was accomplished by one Aurelio Pesce, an Italian man, the head of the Club of Rome, a number of years ago. They even wrote a book about how they did it, called R.I.O., Rio, Reshaping the International Order. You know, I happened to be at Shopko store one time years ago, 15 years ago maybe, and I was just walking down an aisle and I'm walking past the books and there's nothing there worth buying, but I just happened to glance over and I saw this larger book in with all the other paperbacks. You couldn't help but see it. And there was a copy of Rio. A report to the... it was a report to Global 2000 by the Club of Rome. And it was $1.69. How it got in there, I don't know. But I bought it. And it is quite an amazing thing. There's a lot of demographics in there. It shows how they look at all the people of the earth like they are human cattle. They're too dumb to manage themselves, so they have to be managed. You know, in reality, I don't believe that. I believe, especially when the people of God, when the Lord works on people, the world may esteem you to be a fool. But you know, Jesus said that if you would say to a brother or a sister, thou fool, you're in danger of hellfire. You know why? Because anybody, I don't care if their IQ is 3, anybody who's got enough sense to repent of their sins, get baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the Holy Ghost is no fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. We have university professors with all kinds of doctorates and accolades hanging all over them that don't believe in God. They are the fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So all of that learning, that head knowledge, you know, all the things involving the brain, you know, thank God we don't have to be intelligent to serve Him. I don't know where in the world I would be. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much we don't know and are incapable of. I believe the just shall live by faith. Anything else is death. By faith. Has your faith ever helped you? Our faith, Jesus looked at a woman one time who was horribly sick and had been for many years and spent all the money she had on doctors and only got worse. Oh, that never happens, does it? I don't know what kind of HMO she had. But she spent everything she had and only got worse. And then Jesus was there and she touched Him and got well. You know, that ought to tell us something. You know, God is not a liar. And God is not to be reasoned out. God is inscrutable. He simply says, this is how it is and that's how it is. And as soon as I believe that's how it is and get into His will, then I find out His way is right. And there is power there to overcome all things. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that there's power in your muscle, there's power in your mind, there's power in your intellect. It says there's power in the blood. Amen. Not by might and not by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. You see, we have to be a people who believe in the working and the operation of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that He comes in, that He is the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ, the same One who walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, the same One that people got excited about when they said the healer's coming down the road. And Bartimaeus cried out, said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to shut Him up, didn't they? You're an embarrassment. Be quiet. You're making too much noise. Oh, we need to make a little noise, don't we? When the healer's coming down the road. And believe God that He will stretch forth His hand. And as He did for Bartimaeus, how that He would say to us, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The God of heaven asking you what you would like to have Him do. And that's what He did. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, I love to be in the presence of God, feel the power of God come down. It's far better than kissing the Pope's ring. We read last week in Revelation chapter 17 about mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother whore with daughter whores, a whole gamut of churches, offspring, like unto Scarlet, O harlot, the mother, as she calls herself, Mother Rome, the mother church, preoccupied with motherism, you know, that Mary is the mother of God. Well, I got news for you. God never had a mother, God was not born, and God never died. The Son of God died. God never died. God cannot die. Jesus, the Son of God, died. The flesh of God. The humanity that God put on. He put on a robe of flesh. As it tells us, you read in the book of Hebrews, "A body hast thou prepared me." That body, that flesh, came from a virgin named Mary. And God indwelt that body. But it's the same God that created the universe that dwelt in there. Colossians 2, 8 and 9 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." That is who Jesus Christ is. God, very God. The one who fills the universe and indwelt that humanity to save our souls. And there He was personified. There He was, God in the flesh, and walked among us. And the fact is, when He went up into heaven, when He ascended up, after He had ministered for 40 days many infallible proofs of His resurrection, then He sent us the Holy Ghost. And that is the same Jesus Christ that showed us by example what He is able to do for people who approach Him in faith and call upon Him. God's arm is not shortened. His ear is not deaf. And as soon as we lay aside all iniquity and all rebellion and all sin, and as soon as we are able to take ourselves and get ourselves out of the way and reach out to God and say, "Lord, have Thine own way." Jesus knelt down in Gethsemane and said, "Not My will, but Thy will be done." Why did He say that? Because Jesus was both God and man, and the flesh always has a will. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." He's saying, "Father, I don't, you know, if it's possible, you know, that I not go through this, but I will. I will. Whatever Thy will is." And if He could say that, how much more do we need to yield to His will? Amen. You know, the people that are in Babylonian captivity, did you know that Israel was carried off into Babylon, into captivity, and spent 70 years in the captivity of Babylon? Do you realize there is still a Babylon? There is still a Babylonian captivity. There is still a religion called Roman Catholicism. And there are approximately 1 billion Catholics. How can that many people be hoodwinked, mesmerized, controlled? How can this be? Doesn't the majority rule? You know what? The majority, Hear me now, the majority has always been wrong about everything, which is why democracy does not work. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, that statement bothers me, because everybody's saying what a wonderful thing democracy is. Why, we went over to Iraq and we brought democracy to them. And within a week, folks, within 1 week, prostitution was legal. Alcohol, hard liquor, was being served as legal. It was banned there before. Oh, we helped them a lot, didn't we? We Americanized them. We Westernized them. With all the sins and iniquities of a nation that has turned its back upon God. And see, that's exactly what's wrong. Democracy, they'll push that in the schools. Oh, we need to have democracy. Wonderful democracy where everybody rules. Do you think everybody's ruling? No. Everybody's walking around saying, what can I do? What can I do? You know, things are terrible, but I can't do anything. See, in a democracy, it's a mob rule. Would you like a perfect example of democracy? The lynch mob. They got this guy, like in these old westerns, you know? They grab this guy and they're going to lynch him. Here's a democracy in action. The lynch mob wants to lynch the guy. The guy doesn't want to be lynched, so they vote. The majority rules. I could say, in a democracy, I could say, Dwayne, let's take your wallet and let's divide your money up. He's probably thinking, you're not going to get much. We'll pick somebody rich like Arnie then. Okay. We'll say now, we'll take Arnie's wallet. See? Now, how many here want to take Arnie's wallet and we'll share it, all he's got, we'll all divide it up between us. See? And all these hands will go up. Yeah, I want a piece of that pie, you know? That's a democracy. What's a republic? A republic says that you as an individual are protected from all other people. That's a republic. Okay? This nation was a republic at one time. It became a democracy just after the turn, just as we went into the 20th century. Democracy is a terrible thing because people are so easily managed and mismanaged and disillusioned and swayed and persuaded, and they manage people's minds. They can do it with the press. They can do it through the colleges and universities. They can do it through the government school system. They can manage your mind, and then they have a controlled democracy where people think they're free and think they've got a choice when really they have no choice or freedom at all. That is what we have precisely. Just for clarification purposes. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ makes us free, and those that He makes free are free indeed. Amen. We may live in this mess, but we're not of it. We may interact with it, but it doesn't receive the cooperation of our heart, because our heart belongs to the Lord. You see, there is a way of the world. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know, when you look at Mystery Babylon and all of these churches that are nothing more than witch covens with a cross on the roof. Come on. I can't think of anything witchier than a Catholic church. I'm telling you. Their altar is identical to a Wiccan altar with the exception of the ceremonial killing knife. And who knows, maybe they got one of them in the drawer somewhere. But their altar is the same. The same articles are on there. The salt, the water, you know, the rope, all these different things. When they lay out an altar for high mass, everything is on there that you'll find on a witch altar. Now, where did they get that from? See, witches hate Catholics. I talked to a witch in Salem, Massachusetts one time. And she was mad. She said, she called it Christian, but she meant Catholic because she described it. She said, they stole all our holidays. They stole all of our customs. They stole all of our witchcraft and Christianized it. Boy, did she have that right. No wonder people can say, Harry Potter's Christian. It fits in perfectly with this scheme of witchcraft, which is the essence, though it be esoteric and not necessarily fully visible, it is the essence of their doctrine, which is Luciferianism. It's amazing, folks. No wonder the Lord said, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Otherwise, you will be partakers of her plagues." Now, we read in chapter 17 about that. And that was New Testament, and Revelation is a book of prophecy. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ shown unto John on the Isle of Patmos, right? Wasn't Babylon as an empire long gone? Remember, we had 6 world empires at first. Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, or pardon me, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, then Rome. And after those 6 fell, the kingdom of God was set up to last forever. Daniel 2:44 says it will have no end. That's the kingdom we're in. That's why there's never been another one world government. Before Jesus came, there was always one. Since he came, there's never been one. And they'll never get one. And they're mighty close to having one right now, which shows me how close we are to the Lord's coming. But they're never going to quite get there. You know why? Daniel said that it's like that big image. What were the feet made out of? Part iron and part clay. And then a stone hit it, which is Jesus Christ. Bang, and down it went, because there's no soundness in it. You could mold that clay and shape it right with the metal, but as soon as the rock hits it, the clay separates from the iron and it topples the entire monstrosity and it falls down, like Dagon fell down in his temple. So there's no soundness in this. It looks awesome and amazing what they're doing, what they're setting up, but they'll never get it. They can't, because the kingdom of God is here and it is now. We think of the kingdom of God sometimes as a distance off or way up there somewhere. When Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, the kingdom of God is within you." It's on the inside of you. Where is His kingdom? Look within. Now I'll tell you what the devil does. The devil is busy. He doesn't want you to understand the present reality of Jesus Christ and Him crucified living in you. So you know what the devil does? He's very clever. He takes your past and fills up your present with things of the past, misadventures of the past, continually preaching to you what a rotten, terrible person you were and therefore you are, to separate you from the conversion you received in Jesus Christ, to keep you from understanding the power of the blood. We need to let the past be in the past. We need to understand that the present reality is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and all sins are washed away. And Romans chapter 8 tells us, now there is no condemnation, it says. No condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There remaineth therefore no condemnation. And what a future if we walk in the light of that fact. Now, Babylon was gone as an empire. But Jesus said in Revelation 17, it's still there in a spiritual sense, wearing a disguise, decked with silver and gold, looking religious, as a woman riding on a beast. And so amazing that John himself was awestricken by the majesty of it. And in her hand was a cup full of every kind of evil, some even beyond imagination. And the nations of the earth and the kings of the earth had drunken from that cup. Therefore, it says the nations are mad, meaning insane. Do you realize that the world today, the nations of the world today, are insane? Have you ever tried to make sense out of what's going on? You get to the point where the only thing God can do is send 900 tornadoes in 1 month. I was watching CNBC Friday morning, getting ready to leave the motel. I was up in Eau Claire. And listening to those commentators, it's like they were blind and groping for the wall. What's going on in California? Mudslides and fires and earthquakes and flooding and every kind of thing going on. And they said, what's this all about? And they were talking back and forth. And I wanted to go over, if I would have had a speaker, I could tell them through the box there. I'd love to say, they passed the queer bill. Every little fairy and pansy boy out there can marry each other. Do you think the Lord is pleased with that when He's the same God that rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you realize that if I were a 501c3, they could pull a rug out from under me just for saying that? No wonder these lily-livered pastors and churches can't speak out. They made an agreement with the government to shut up and let the queers be queers and let the whoever be whoever and you're okay and I'm okay and just talk about innocent little sweet things and whisper sweet nothings in the ear of your congregation. Keep everybody happy, make everybody love you, find a leveling off happy medium. I don't believe in mediums. Anyway. No, it's God is absolute. His word is absolute. Things are right or they are wrong. And there's no in between. Now, you know what? I'm not even worried about this. Because I know what God gives me to say. And if there's repercussions, some people hear this tape think, oh, he's mean-spirited. Calling these guys pansy boys. And little fairies and so forth. You know what? When they talk among each other, they call themselves that. There is an organization of homosexuals that call themselves Queer Nation. And it's become religious. We have Rainbow Baptists. It's a big organization nationwide. You know, if you get on a computer, type in Rainbow Baptists, and it'll give you a list of all the homosexual Baptist churches in the United States. There's some in Madison. They're all over Wisconsin. It'll give you a list. Rainbow Baptists. And all the men sit with other men and hold hands in the church. And the women, you know, their arms around each other sitting in the church. And you talk about, can you imagine you would lose your lunch just having a glance at it? But that's the way it is in our land, as it was in the days of Sodom. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There is a Babylon, there's a Babylonian captivity. You know, they just put up a new monument over in Germany. In Germany, there is a monument for the Holocaust victims that they put up, you know, to honor those that Hitler killed. Now they put up another one to honor all the homosexuals that died during that time as well. And they included them in that number. But they want to especially honor the homosexuals. So they got this block of some kind of stone, square block, and they put it up there and they got the inscriptions in there in honor of all the gay Holocaust victims. You've got to ask yourself, what are they going to honor next? You know, there's no soundness anymore. The nations are mad because they have drunken from the cup of the whore sitting on the beast. And it's a world of insanity. Tell you. You know, just looking at the news, it's like, huh? You know, I saw that McClellan, who was a White House press correspondent and so forth, he's now come out with evidence that our president is a habitual user of cocaine. And the White House is saying, ridiculous, and other people are saying, no, it's true, he's, you know. You know, Bill Clinton was caught on tape, on videotape, snorting cocaine and saying, I've got to get some of this to my brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. I have got a picture of Nasty Pelosi. Or is it Nancy? No, Nasty Pelosi. Her and Harry Reid sitting by a coffee table is a press conference. And obviously before they came in, you can see on the table, and this came right out of, I believe it was Time Magazine or Newsweek, one of those. And it's a big picture I've got in color. and it shows the residue of cocaine on that glass coffee table. You know how I know it's cocaine? Some people might say, maybe they had powdered sugar donuts, and some of that spilled. There were two lines. Well, you could see like a glass tube went right through the middle and made a line. That's what they call it. You know, let's do a few lines, you know, snort the cocaine. You could see the lines, and I don't think they were snorting powdered sugar from a donut. But you could see the lines there, and these people are higher than a kite, and they're running the show. See, the problem is that those that were running the streets in the 60s and early 70s and turning on, tuning in, dropping out, LSD and all this stuff, as students, running around in Peter Mac's shirts with peace symbols on it, the witch symbol, the crow's foot, all that stuff. And you remember that scene, don't you? All that run. Now, they wear the suits and ties, these same acid heads, and half their brain fried out. They're running the show. They got elected to office. The nations are mad, folks. We need to realize that. Well, our help is in the name of the Lord. Now, all that was just a preface, I guess. Babylon, in the New Testament, we find that Babylon continues. But let's read a little bit about it in the Old, too. Just as Babylon was judged in the Old Testament, it will be judged again. In Isaiah 47, the Lord said in verse 1, Isaiah 47, 1, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon." Babylon always has daughters. All right? "Sit on the ground. There is no throne." God's going to pull that throne right out from under him. You know, the other day the Pope was trying to ascend up to his throne, that worshipful master, going up those seven steps, and he got right in front of his throne, and he tripped and he went down on both knees, and he was kneeling down there in front of the throne, having fallen in that. He fell right to his knees. That had never happened before. Could that possibly be a sign? And God would, you know, God does show us, you know, little things that are big things. Hillary Clinton got up to make a speech one time, and there were four stands of color, American flags, on those big, wide metal stands like the American Legion uses, you know. And they're stable. You can almost lean on them. Four stands of color in front of her, and she started speaking, and all four of them fell down. Not one tip hitting the other. All four simultaneously fell down right in front of her. American flags right down to the ground. And she looked at it and said, "They must not have been standing up very good." No, I think that there was a certain sweeping of the spirit there, as you'd say, to show us God's consternation for that hypocritical woman, wannabe president. There's no coincidence that those flags all fell down at the same time. Well, well. Or when Rudy Giuliani was getting up in New Hampshire there and speaking, and he gets into this thing and he's talking about abortion, how he personally believes, you know, that it's acceptable and all this. And right then lightning struck his microphone. Nobody else's. There were others there. It was just a number of different candidates talking, hit his microphone, not once, not twice. Anybody remember that story? Huh? 7 times before it was all over. Kept knocking him out and knocking him out and knocking him out, knocking him out. And finally he stopped and he said, "This is scary. I went to a parochial school." And then he laughed. And then everybody else laughed. Big joke. Well, the joke will be over when the Lord comes back. Now, the Word of God tells us that Babylon is told, the daughter of Babylon, to sit down on the ground, there is no throne. O daughter of Chaldeans, of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Rather interesting wording here. It means remove the veil. Remove that hidden garment there so we can see who you really are. See, that's Rome. A lot of people don't know what Rome or who Rome really is. Mystery Babylon is a veil. God's saying that veil is going to be torn away. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. There you see it's a reproach for a woman to make bare the thigh, obviously because of the trouble that causes. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Now, speaking of a nation here, have you noticed our country running around half naked? The nakedness of our country is showing. Not only in the esoteric sense, meaning the things of government and ideologies and all that, but literally the people. All right? Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. So there, this Babylon, who takes on the role of an unfaithful female, seems to think that her power is in her beauty and her ability to seduce. And God is saying, I'll not meet you as a man. You can't seduce me. All right? As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel. And isn't it something how some of these women are today, and it's a trend. It's because they read all those weird magazines that they buy at the supermarket, the Cosmopolitan, Ad Nauseam, and all these things, and they watch the television and see all their role models and how they dress and how they act and how they walk around like they, you know, that peculiar hitch in their get-along, you know? Ball-bearing hips and the way they mincing as they go, as it says in Isaiah. And manifesting their power over men. They literally cripple the will of men with their charms and their ways, with their fluid motion across the face of the earth. You know, all this kind of... You know what I'm talking about. And they flaunt that. They might be as dumb as a post. They might have an IQ of 20. They might be an imbecile. But they feel like if they've got the right numbers, you know, that their appearance is what really is going to take people... You know what? It works to a great extent. This Madonna and putting herself up on a cross and wearing a crown of thorns. Hey, I wouldn't want to be her on Judgment Day. Now anybody can see that as blasphemy of the first magnitude, or Britney Spears dancing with a white snake wrapped around her. Is that entertainment? Some would think so. Because they've drunken from the cup of Babylon, therefore the nations are mad. Churches putting on special programs for Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and J.R.R. Tolkien's materials and C.S. Lewis. If you can't see what's wrong with that, you are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. If you can't understand how some character named Harry Potter with Lord Voldemort in it, which means the flight of death, who is given power by drinking the blood of a unicorn, and there's crystal balls in it, and there's magic wands in it, and there's potions and powders in it. It's witchcraft. Any dumbbell can see that. These ministers and these people using that stuff out there, they're not that dumb, they're that evil. I told a man one time, I said, there's two possibilities with you. Either you are very ignorant or you are very evil. There's no other possibilities, one or the other. Whichever one you want to claim, you don't deserve any credit for it. There's no honor in being ignorant or evil, is there? Boy, I'm not going to make any points with a lot of people. Watch the letters come in. The mail is going to increase. And I'm not doing this to aggravate anybody. Somebody's got to say it. Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know what? We can't worry about approval ratings for us as Christians, can we? Anyway, so the Word of God tells us then that in verse 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. What do we have guarding our, standing proudly in our New York harbor? We have a woman holding up a big torch as if it were a flaming sword turning every way, guarding the Big Apple, right? This woman. And by the way, some people say, oh, isn't that, you know, people go back there and they feel patriotism, a spirit of patriotism, which is a devil, sweep over their souls, and they look at it and they weep. Lady Liberty, isn't she beautiful? Hey, she's ugly. Did you ever look at her face? She'd stop a clock. That woman is ugly. If she was alive and could cry, the tears would go up over the top of her head and go down the back of her neck to avoid looking at her face. She is ugly. But you know, where that, and I had a woman from France sent me a copy of the French archives, and remember, that was a gift of France, wasn't it? In honor of their revolution, in which they guillotined, chopped off the heads of 3 million people with blood running 6 inches deep down the cobblestone streets. And our president goes over there on Bastille Day and celebrates with them the shedding of the blood of all those millions of people, crying, liberty, equality, fraternity. Look at a French coin. Of course, they've gone to the euro now, but their French coins always said liberty, equality, fraternity. What they did is they were chopping off the heads of all these people. They went into the streets of Paris and they found a well-known prostitute. And the mob, the leaders of the mob, grabbed her, took her into Notre Dame Cathedral, put her up on the altar of that Catholic cathedral. They put a crown on her head, a torch in her hand, a book in her other arm, and she stood there and they forced people to come in and bow down and worship her as the goddess of reason and the goddess of liberty, equality, fraternity. Then they made a life-size statue of her and put it outside the cathedral. And then in the days of President Grover Cleveland, France made a big giant image of this whore and sent it over here to put in our harbor on a pedestal. That is a statue of a prostitute, folks. And it shows that the presence of the great whore, Mystery Babylon, is in this country, is in New York City, and you can see it and you can feel it. And it's there. And so the Word of God, you know what? What I'm saying, I wish there'd be 1,000 more people that say these things. I really do. We've got to make some noise about this in order to show the truth of the Word of God. Otherwise, people read these verses and shrug their shoulders. Nothing makes any sense. You've got to make the connections. All right? And so the Lord said, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. Now, what have they done to the people of God? They lay heavy burdens on us, don't they? They make it very difficult for you to serve God. They make it very difficult for you to raise a godly family. They throw everything at your family they can. Every kind of filth, temptation. They throw economic stress and trouble at you so both parents have to work and drop their children off at a daycare center, where they're brought up on Mother Goose nursery rhymes And Baal Mass comes along and the heathen holidays, and they're pulled into all those things of the world because both parents have to go and work in order to pay the bills or they go under. Then they give you this thing called plastic. And it works like money. But all it does is create debt. And people say, this is great. I can use this credit card, run up a bill, and all they want from me is $10 a month. And you never get it paid off. My father had debt, not tremendous amounts. But when he went to the grave, the insurance paid off his debt. He never was free from it. They know how to keep you going. They know how to lay it on you where you have to use their system. I talked to a banker this week, and I had her trembling in her chair. She was one of the bank officers. I said, you know what? She never thought of these things. And, you know, I said, you know what the problem is? I said, on your books, you've got accounts receivable. That's an asset. That makes your financial statement, your P&L statement, look good. Because accounts receivable is an asset. But how receivable is it? How collectible is it? When people cannot pay. Okay. Oh, yes. All right. Duane just handed me a card here that you can activate. It actually shows a little printed circuit on the back with a microchip. It's visible, actually. You know, like if you opened up a radio and looked at the schematic of it, and this has got, you can see the little printed circuit on the back here. Yeah, they know when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good. Yeah, and a hologram on there also. Yep, I see it. Very strange design. Yeah, it does a little dance in the sunlight, doesn't it? Changes colors. There's a lot of... Oh, look at that. It shows... You know what that is? You know what that actually is there? That looks like that little nuclear thing in orbit.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it looks like electrons rotating around a nucleus.
Yep.
But if you hold it, if you turn it, you can see that. If you hold it in one spot, you'll see a four-pointed star, which is the emblem of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's got a whole bunch of New World Order designs on here in the back in a hologram. With a printed circuit, with a microchip. Yeah, where'd you get this animal?
My wife sent it.
Oh, okay. And all you have to do...
No, for a year.
Really? And all you have to do... and all you have to do is call this number and activate it. I got to say, I've never seen one like that. Must be the latest thing out. Here, I'll give it back to you for now. But that is... it's another example of what we're seeing right before our very eyes. Babylon, the whore and the beast are working together right now. The whore will eventually be destroyed by the beast. Now, so he goes on here and he says, yeah, the people of his people are in a situation where this system of Babylon is making it very difficult for them. It's a hostile environment for a Christian, isn't it? A real one. Verse 7 says, and thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. People have a very short memory, don't they? God will send some disaster, but they forget right away. Remember when the towers came down in New York? This building was filled the capacity for about 2 weeks, right after the towers came down. And then people drifted away. We'll wait for the next big deal, then we'll come back. We'll seek the Lord when we have to. And that's dangerous business, if you're going to play that game. There's no reason to not be completely dedicated to God right now. There's just no reason not to. Things happen so fast. And the judgment of Babylon will come in one day. One day! That's how fast it will come, so says the Word of God. But people have a short memory. Remember, after the towers came down, What was one of the big things that happened? Well, everybody rushed in to give blood, even though they didn't need it. They told you they didn't need it. It was a blood sacrifice. They all wanted to give blood, give blood, give blood, all over the country, and they dumped out 90% of it. So many people gave blood to help. Kind of strange, isn't it? And then there's this vampire show on television, and to make sure that it stayed on the air, 3,000 of its fans wanted to give blood in honor of the vampire show, give blood to the Red Cross. They're saying, we're doing this as a show of wanting to keep this program on the air. Gets a little weird after a while, I think, doesn't it? But what did Planned Parenthood do in New York City? They said because of all the financial hardship, because these towers came down and business came to a standstill, we will offer free abortions to anyone. We won't charge anything. Come and get it. Free abortion. Can you imagine? Anyway, verse 7 says that they would not remember the latter end. They don't think ahead, nor do they look at examples and bear it in mind. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Oh, that couldn't be us, could it, in this country? Given to pleasures?
The church.
Yeah, the church. You know, how many of these people are just seeking one pleasure and then a greater one and one after the next and after the other all the time? Pleasure mad, pleasure seeking people. They want to feel good. They want to have fun. They don't know the meaning of a spiritual battle. They don't understand the depth of prayer. They don't know what it means to cry out to God and travail. You know, people used to pray a long time. Years ago, my brother up in Canada, my brother Gary, if you think I'm a character, you ought to meet him. He had a beautiful house, nice piece of land, and he lost his job up there. He's a very talented man, but he lost his job. He fell behind on the payments, and they were going to foreclose on his property. He didn't know what to do. So he wanted to sell it. At least to get, you know, break even, maybe try to get a little bit out of it. And he got down on his knees. He was right up against it. He said, Lord, what should I do? And he prayed all night. He started in the evening, and he prayed until the sun went down and came back up again. All night he prayed and cried out to God. Not too many people do things like that anymore. But he did it, and then he heard the Lord speak to him and say, put an ad in a German newspaper. He put the ad in, he got a call right away. A guy who owned a big electric motor company, Elektromaschinenbau, in Germany. And this guy said, I want to buy your property. And he said, well, don't you want to come and see it first? He said, no, I buy it. And he asked him how much he wanted. My brother inflated it about $10,000 beyond what he would owe it on it. He said, I pay it. And he said, are you going to live here? And he said, no, I live in Germany. I come once 1 month out of the year. And he said, you know, if you don't live here in Canada, if you don't live in Canada, you pay a 100% tax. He says, oh, if there's tax, I pay it. He bought the place, he came over there, looked at it, he said, I'm only going to be here 1 month out of the year. Would you live here and take care of it for me? He said, well, sure. So he got his money out of it, got paid off, he had $10,000 besides, he had a job taking care of it for him. The man bought him an all-terrain vehicle, a new boat, that he could use any time he wanted to. And then he started guiding people on fishing trips and hunting trips. That's how he made his money. And of course he was paid for. And then he got his bank statement a couple of months later. And it was way off. It was $10,000 over. And he contacted the bank and they said, your friend in Germany put that in for you. Little gift. One night in prayer? One night? He was set up with that whole thing. You know, God does do wonders. But people are accustomed these days to praying 5 or 10 minutes. There's nothing wrong with that, except sometimes it takes more than that. People have asked me, how long should I pray? And the only answer I can give is until you don't want to stop. Then you know you got through. And the Lord, His hand isn't shortened, and you're not heard because of your much speaking, but the fact is, we need to get in tune with the will of God, and sometimes it takes a while to get all the flesh out of the way. And for faith to have a perfect work, it takes maybe all night sometimes to get that way. But you know, some people stay up all night drinking. The taverns close pretty late, I think. I don't even know exactly how long they stay open nowadays, but you know, we can pray. The devil's going to say, oh, you're so tired. Rock-a-bye, Christian. Huh? You're so sleepy, getting sleepy, sleepy, you know. But that need presses on, and you break through and travail in prayer. The Lord has awakened me many times in the middle of the night to have me pray. It's an awesome experience. You know, where does the time go? I've got about 8 minutes to finish this up. And by the way, it's going to be to be continued. Now, next Wednesday we won't be here, but after that. And I wish I could be, but I've not mastered the skill of being two places at once yet. But we will continue this. I'm anxious to continue. I don't know, if the Lord will allow me to, maybe I can finish it Sunday even. I'll see how it goes. I don't know. I never know what the Lord's going to do. I don't have anything planned. But there's just too much material here. This is going to be a series. And we'll just have to take it one step at a time. So he says, therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Is there a little pride problem there? Do people dwell carelessly in this country? Meaning they just don't care. All right? I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Everything will be all right. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. There it is. And there's a verse like that in Revelation 18, which I was going to go to next, and we don't have time to get to tonight. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection. In other words, to the absolute degree, nth degree. For the multitude of thy sorceries. Is there any sorcery in America? And for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Enchantments is when you attract evil spirits by chanting. Did you ever hear these Catholic things, you know, did you ever hear how they chant? Spooky, isn't it? And all that old Latin. Remember? Of course, they modernized that now, but traditionally, Latin is still the language of the Catholic Church. How many have ever heard that chanting? It's a little spooky. Et filio filii. Rex tre laestis, rex gloriae, et filii hodie. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Remember that? Yuck! That's not worship, at least not worship of God, is it? And yeah, this chanting that goes on, these enchantments, the sorceries. And by the way, the word sorcery in the New Testament in several places is translated from the word pharmakia, which means the dispensing of drugs for occult purposes. And when you turn on that idiot lantern and watch those commercials, and they've got all of these different drugs that they've come up with, one to put you to sleep, one to wake you up, one to keep your bones from falling apart, and another one to keep you from having to go to the bathroom so often, and this and that, side effects like melanoma, lymphoma, and one side effect, they actually said death as a side effect. And they show the silver butterfly fluttering down from the moon, hovering over your nose, Lunesta, the moon goddess, putting you to sleep. This lunar power to turn you into a lunatic. Huh? The word lunatic in the Bible means moonstruck. And you're supposed to take that Lunesta so you can sleep. And people have done it. And they found themselves waking up in a tavern, waking up in a strip joint, waking up driving their car, waking up doing various immoral things, waking up walking down the street. Any pill that'll do that to you is not of God. I don't care what you think. And they say, check with your doctor to see if it's right for you. Boy, we're hitting them tonight. But it needs to be said. Sorceries, enchantments. Think what God sees when He looks down and sees it all at once. Sees everything at once. Every high mass, every low mass, every novena, everything going on. He sees it all, doesn't He? All the puppet shows in the churches and bringing in the clowns and magicians and the all these ventriloquists and all that nonsense. Rock bands, drums beating away. No place to set a Bible, but they got track lighting and flood lighting and colored lighting and balls spinning around like in a disco. People boogieing around in the church. And yeah, they could do that. Throw in a roller rink, anything like that. And, you know, and they get in there and they're swaying around to that music like this. And they say, oh, that's the Spirit. They're feeling the Spirit. And the music stops and so do they. Yeah, they're feeling a spirit all right, but it's coming from that music. And remember, Satan, Lucifer, was an angel that had music created in him. And boy, he's manifesting some bad stuff right now. And so, I like to unplug that. Oh, it's battery operated. I can't. That clock. But we only have so much time on a disc, too, so I have to watch it. I've got a few minutes yet. And so it says in verse 10, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Uh-huh. It's a secret. What's the real thing going on? They can't see it. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge. You know, somebody, I got to tell you this. Somebody told me one time, I was giving them the gospel. I said, you know, you need to repent. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. The power's in the name. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I just can't see it. I can't see it. I said, you know why you can't see it? Because until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. That's why you can't see it. You, by faith, you obey. You're born again, then you see it. They're wearing a veil. Blindness has happened in part unto Israel. Now, so here it says that nobody sees it. They don't, you know? And it's amazing. Thy wisdom, it says, and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee? Won't our Congress fix things? Won't they fix it all up? You know, I think it's so amusing, actually, if I could use that word in this context, when Will Rogers said that the reason Rome fell is they had a bad Senate. That was one of the reasons. You know, they taxed everybody to death. They had a bad Senate. He said, if that's the case, what's going to happen to the United States? They got a bad Senate and House of Representatives. We got double trouble, double under her double, right? There's a reason why they offed him over Alaska. That airplane went up, but it didn't make a three-point landing. Wiley Post, the greatest pilot in the world at that time, he and Will Rogers were up over Alaska, and they both ended up dead. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Our educational system today perverts people. You know what you've got? You've got graduation going on right now. They are cranking out a whole conveyor line of perverts. There are a few, come on, there are a few that somehow make it through. God gets a hold of them. But primarily with what they're being taught, it says right here in the book of God that the knowledge and wisdom is what has perverted them. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. They're being taught in their religion and their belief system that they have a God self. That intelligence is God. That inside of every human being, there is one degree or another of Ein Sof, intelligence. And that is God. The higher the IQ, the more of God you have. That's what the Masons teach. That's what the esoteric religions teach. That's what the New Age teaches. And they believe they are so gifted that they have the inherent right to rule over you, the ordinary American. Hear the politicians say that? You are the ordinary American. You don't know what's good for you. We have to rule over you. You know what? God has a people that know Him. And because they do, they have an advantage that this world doesn't understand. And we are encroached upon on every side, but God is with us. And He will remain so. And so the Lord, I'll have to end with this verse. Verse 11 says, therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. All of a sudden it's there, isn't it? Came from nowhere. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. When it falls, everybody's going to wonder how and why. You know, we've got fuel prices going up and up and up exponentially, affecting every price in every store, not just gas at the pump, but everything you buy, the fuel you burn in your home, every commodity, every enterprise of man, all service, all industry, everything is affected by those prices. And people go on as long as they can get their 12-pack and a favorite sports program and their munchies and crunchies, as long as the government will send them a check, you know, economic stimulus. Doesn't look too stimulated to me. As long as they can feed their pleasure, they just plain don't care. There's the problem. People should be looking at this and saying, oh, we better have an all-nighter. We better pray. We need to call upon God. Our country's falling. It's dying. It's crumbling. But as long as they got that little piece of plastic, and it's not maxed out yet, and then when it is, they can trade it in for another one and move the balance over and keep moving the balance over until they run out of somebody willing to accept the balance. They'll keep driving around and bombing around with their cars, these young people. When I was in school, we all had beaters. $50, $75 cars. Go over by the high school now, BMWs. Huh? Late model cars. Their parents say, oh, the poor little darling deserves a good car. And so they go and they put a second mortgage on a house and get them a $35,000 car. And the little devils run around with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth and cocaine in the glove compartment. And, oh, my little dear, he would never do anything wrong. He's just the nicest little guy. My sweet little darling girl here, you know. And they're little human devils. Because they were made to be that way. Drive past the school, look at those cars. I had a 55 Ford. It was rust green. $300. And it was good enough for me. But look at it now. Farm kids that drive to school with their truck, they pull in the parking lot, left the windows open, shotgun hanging in the back window. They all had them. Didn't lock it, didn't even roll the windows up. Nobody ever bothered that gun. I guarantee you, let one of these, anybody, drive in a school parking lot in a pickup truck with a gun in the back now and see what happens. You didn't have to lock your doors. Something happened. We got to quit. We're out of time. But I want to urge you to believe God, because we are, as a nation, in a lot of trouble, and yet the Lord is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? What opportunities we have to let people know, oh, they're going to get mad at you, they're going to get shook up, they may hate you, but somebody somewhere might listen, and that one is worth it all. And we got to keep trying. God called us to do that. You're going to be swimming upstream, going against the grain, but do it. Be outspoken. As David said in the Psalms, who will rise up? Thank God, a remnant will. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, oh, how we need Thee tonight. How we need to get ourselves out of the way and yield to Thee, O God, and just that Thou wouldst have Thine own way. For we know that Babylon is here and now, but we've come out of it because we walk now in obedience to Thy Word. And though we're in this world, we're not of it. Lord, let Thy blessing abide upon Thy people. Let Thy people be encouraged and strengthened and blessed. For in Thee there is hope. In Thee there is certainty and peace of mind, but only in Thee, O God. So Lord, we just yield ourselves to Thee now. Have Thine own way and let Thy name be glorified. Let Satan not have any advantage over us, but give us victory in Thy holy and wondrous name, even in the name of Jesus. Amen.